A blue T-shaped logo forms on a black background. United Artists, entertainment from Transamerica Corporation. White dots travel left to right across a black screen, returning from the right, James Bond. He turns and shoots. Suavely dressed in a suit and trilby, Bond appears as if viewed down the barrel of a gun. A blood-red wash covers the screen. The gun barrel becomes an iris effect and opens out to reveal a simply furnished Japanese room with shoji screen walls made of translucent paper and wooden frames. A man's thrown through one wall.
Where is he? I shan't ask you politely next time.
The man is thrown through another wall.
Where is Blofeld?
Cairo!
A man in shades and a red fez gambles.
Hit me.
Someone punches him. Hands grab the guy.
Where can I find him?
Molly!
A face cast.
Now come to phase four, the nose. In my opinion, the most difficult part of a plastic transformation.
I want the operation done tonight.
But, Senor...
There's no time left.
But, Senor Blofeld, this is a most delicate procedure. It cannot...
Tonight!
In a laboratory, the form of a man lies in a deep tank of brownish goo. Men in surgical scrubs smear the goo all over him, then leave, giving instructions to a man in scrubs and mask on his way in.
Keep the temperature at precisely 80 degrees.
A man in green scrubs lies sprawled in bushes. The man who entered the lab takes off his mask. It's Bond. He removes his surgical gown to reveal a smart suit, then scans round the lab, which is set in a cave. The eyes of the goo-covered figure flicker. A hand aiming a gun rises up out of the goo. Then the man sits up. Bond sees, somersaults and pulls a chain as he does so. It releases a mass of goo, which cascades onto the man from a copper tank above him. The man flails and is submerged. Bond gets up, pulls back his sleeve and lifts the figure's head out of the gunge. He sprays the face with a water jet hanging nearby. A man with heavy dark eyebrows is revealed. His eyes are closed. Bond lets the head sink back beneath the gunge. Bond washes off his hand.
Making mud pies, 007.
Blofeld, flanked by two armed guards.
He would have been me in a matter of days, if you'd given the poor fellow a chance. Such a pity, I was dying to see how the operation turned out. Get his gun.
Hold it! Get your hands up.
Bond stops reaching inside his jacket and obeys casually. A guard reaches into Bond's pocket. The guard's fingers are caught in a gizmo. Bond repels both guards. Bond seizes scalpels from a table. He hurls one and hits a guard in the arm. Blofeld grabs a large knife. Blofeld lunges across an operating table and misses Bond. Bond slams a surgical light down on Blofeld's head and KOs him. He straps Blofeld to the table, then pushes the table, which is on wheels, towards a bubbling pool of gunk. Blofeld goes in head first and sinks beneath the surface. Bond trips a temperature switch and the goo bubbles.
Welcome to hell, Blofeld.
A white cat with a diamond collar. The gems reflect in one of the cat's eyes. The cat's eye becomes a diamond, which a hand with long red nails picks up. A hand wrapped with a string of diamonds holds a diamond-studded pistol. Sean Connery in Ian Fleming's Diamonds Are Forever.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. Stimulate to tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me.
In shadowy reddish light, diamond jewelry on a sultry woman sparkles. The white cat's necklace gleams.
Caress it, touch it, stroke it and undress it.
Starring Jill St. John, Charles Gray, Lana Wood, Jimmy Dean, Bruce Cabot.
I don't need love, for what good will love do me? Diamonds never lie to me.
The white cat strolls through darkness. A diamond choker gleams on a glamorous woman's swan-like neck.
Diamonds are forever sparkling round my little finger. Unlike men, the diamonds linger. Men are mere mortals who are not worth going to your grave for. I don't need love.
Music composed, conducted and arranged by John Barry. Lyrics by Don Black. Title song sung by Shirley Bassey.
For when love's gone, they luster on. Diamonds are forever, forever.
Out of shadows, a gleaming diamond rotates between the silhouettes of two slender women. A naked woman in shadow evolves out of the gem. Produced by Harry Saltzman and Albert R. Broccoli. Directed by Guy Hamilton. M and Bond study labelled diamonds in a case.
South Africa, 83.5 carats rough, 47.5 carats cut. The Akbar Shah, 116 carats rough.
Bond's not looking.
Paying attention, 007.
The Akbar Shah, 116 carats rough. But surely, sir, there's no need to bring in our section on a relatively simple smuggling matter.
Sir Donald has convinced the PM otherwise. May I remind you, 007, that Blofeld's dead. Finished.
The least we can expect from you now is a little plain, solid work.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Sir Donald will see you now.
Thank you. Good morning, Sir Donald. And this is Commander Bond.
How do you do, Commander Bond? Please sit down.
Thank you.
Sherry?
Not for me, thanks. Doctor's orders.
Commander Bond?
Yes, thank you.
You've been on holiday, I understand. Relaxing, I hope.
Oh, hardly relaxing, but most satisfying. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bond, in a smart grey suit, sips his sherry.
How about your liver, sir? It's an unusually fine Solera. 51, I believe.
There is no year for sherry, 007.
I was referring to the original vintage on which the sherry is based, sir.
M raises his eyebrows.
1851.
To Sir Donald.
Precisely. Tell me, Commander, how far does your expertise extend into the field of diamonds?
Well, how does substance found in nature, the cut glass, suggest marriage? I suppose I've replaced a dog as a girl's best friend, and that's about it.
Refreshing to hear there's one subject you're not an expert on.
Yes, well, perhaps I'd better give you a brief background into our problem. 80% of the world's diamonds come from mines in South Africa. Most are dug out of shafts of diamond-bearing clay at depths of up to 3,000 feet. The whole process, from start to finish, operates under an airtight security system. It's an essential precaution, even though the industry prides itself on the loyalty and devotion of its workers. Naturally, the security measures tend to ensure that loyalty, as do the extensive amenities and social services we provide. There's a permanent staff of doctors, nurses, even dentists. The whole process, from start to finish, operates under an airtight security system. It's a necessary precaution, even though the industry prides itself on the loyalty and devotion of its workers.
Next!
A dentist removes a diamond from a worker's mouth and pays him.
The scorpion.
Mother Nature's finest killer, Mr. Wint.
One is never too old to learn from a master, Mr. Kidd.
Kidd and Wint crouch down in rocky desert terrain. Wint puts on a black glove and takes a stick as he reaches out to pick up a scorpion. A motorbike rides towards them. The bike pulls up and a mustachioed man gets off. Wint and Kidd approach him.
Dr. Tynan, good evening.
Who are you? And where's Joe?
Joe couldn't make it tonight. I'm Mr. Wint.
This is Mr. Kidd.
Bespectacled Kidd holds up a box. Tynan eyes them warily, then opens a compartment around his bike's exhaust pipe, takes out a long package, and puts it in the jewellery box Kidd is holding. Kidd holds his jaw and moans.
What's the matter with him?
It's my wisdom teeth. I haven't had him out yet.
Would you mind having a look, Doctor?
Of course. I'm not going to hurt you. Just open. No. Open wide.
While Tynan looks in Kidd's mouth, Wint slips the scorpion down the back of Tynan's collar.
Ah!
Tynan freezes, jolts, then falls backwards.
Curious how everyone who touches those diamonds seems to die.
Kidd, who has a bald pate fringed with long fair hair and wears gold-rimmed spectacles, smirks. Wint and Kidd bury Tynan. A chopper lands. They walk towards it. The pilot aims a gun.
Who are you?
Dr. Tynan sent us.
Why didn't he come himself?
He was taken sick.
Bitten by the bug. He sent this for you.
They hand over the jewelry box, and the pilot takes off again.
If God had wanted man to fly,
he would have given him wings, Mr. Kidd.
Black smoke drifts up from the burning chopper on the ground. Kidd picks up another jewellery box and walks off hand in hand with Wint. Sir Donald.
Of course, no security system is perfect. We've always accepted a percentage of smuggling. But over the past 2 years, despite all our precautions, it's gone up alarmingly. Even more alarming is the fact that none of the stones have reached the market.
Sir Donald thinks someone's stockpiling them.
What concerns us is the possibility of someone either dumping the stones on the market to depress prices or...
making you agree to perpetual blackmail.
Exactly. What we need to know is who the stockpilers are.
The letter U is for umbrella. We take it lest it rain. We hope we shan't want it till we're home again.
Two men to see you, missy.
Gentlemen, Joshua. I shan't be long, children. Joshua's going to read you a story.
Wint and Kidd.
How nice to see you again. Where to this time?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Oh, how lovely. I shall have to bring back some pictures of the canals for the children.
Ask, and ye shall receive, Mrs. Whistler.
They secrete diamonds in a Bible.
Thus endeth the lesson for today, gentlemen.
Several recent murders in South Africa have complicated matters. If they shut down operations before we discover them...
it would be catastrophic for us. And for the government.
Well, I've always rather fancied the trip to South Africa.
You're going to Holland.
For some time now, we've had our eyes on a professional smuggler called Peter Franks. He's due to leave for Amsterdam.
Do we know who his contacts are?
We do function in your absence, Commander.
A yellow Triumph Stag pulls up at a port control.
A passport, sir.
The strong-featured driver hands one over.
Ah, Mr. Franks. There's a message for you at passport control. That door over there. You can park your car outside.
Thank you.
Franks pulls over to the passport control office and gets out of his open-topped car. He goes through a door marked HM Customs, then through another door. Almost immediately, a woman in uniform comes out of the same office and goes to the Triumph. Bond is in the driver's seat.
Mr. Franks, your passport is quite in order.
Well, anyone seeing you in that outfit, Moneypenny, would most certainly be discouraged from leaving the country. What can I bring you back from Holland?
A diamond? In a ring?
He gapes and frowns.
Would you settle for a tulip?
He smiles and drives off.
Yes?
Bond drives beneath a sign for the hovercraft. In bright sunshine, a hovercraft travels down a slipway and sends up a cloud of spray as it hits the water. A glass-sided tourist motor launch.
Ahead is one of the oldest bridges in Amsterdam, the Skinny Bridge. It was built over 300 years ago by two sisters who wanted to visit each other every day. Unfortunately, they ran out of money, so that is why it is called the Skinny Bridge. On your right, those beautiful old houses can be seen in the paintings of our famous painter Rembrandt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you will look to your left as we go down the Amster, you can see... Oh!
They pass another boat and see police on it pull a body out of the water. It's Mrs. Whistler. Kid takes a photo.
Mrs. Whistler did want some pictures of the canals for the children.
How kind of you, Mr. Kid. The children will be so thrilled.
Wint and Kid walk off across a canal bridge. Bond, in the yellow Triumph, drives over another wooden canal bridge a little further away and pulls up outside a tall townhouse. He jogs up steps to the door, alongside which are a number of bells with names beside them. He presses on a bell marked Tea Case.
Yes?
Franks. Peter Franks.
Come up, third floor.
Bond gets out of a cage-style lift. He walks to a natural wood door which is ajar and enters an apartment.
Make yourself at home. I'll be out in a minute.
He catches a fleeting glimpse of a scantily clad blonde.
Help yourself to a drink.
Is Mr. Case not at home?
There is no Mr. Case. The tea is for Tiffany.
Tiffany Case? Definitely distinctive.
I was born there, on the first floor, while my mother was looking for a wedding ring.
Well, I'm glad for your sake it wasn't Van Cleef and Arpels.
Tiffany appears in her underwear and adopts a sultry pose. She's brunette.
You're blonde when I came in.
Could be.
I tend to notice little things like that, whether a girl is a blonde or a brunette.
And which do you prefer?
Oh, providing the collars and cuffs match.
We'll talk about that later. Let me have your glass. I'll get you some ice.
She slinks off into another room through curtained French doors. She shuts the door, sits at her dressing table, and sprays Bond's glass with a solution. She blows on it, then picks up a small paintbrush and dusts the glass for prints. She then puts it down in front of a disguised camera on the dressing table. She photographs the prints, wipes the glass clean, and puts ice in it. Bond shuts a drawer as she re-enters, wearing a short, transparent black negligee.
That's quite a nice little nothing you're almost wearing. I approve.
I don't dress for the hired help. Let's see your passport, Franks.
He reaches into his inside jacket pocket and produces it.
Occupation transport consultant? It's a little cute, isn't it? I'll finish dressing.
Oh, please don't. Not on my account.
Back in the bedroom, she takes a Polaroid out of the camera, peels the paper off it and smiles. Tiffany goes to her wardrobe and opens out the racks of clothes, behind which is a light box. She switches it on. A fingerprint labelled Peter Franks shows up. She feeds the Polaroid of Bond's print into a slot, and it shows up beside Frank's print. Tiffany nods as she studies the identical prints. In Tiffany's sumptuous sitting room, Bond sips his drink, then sniffs the outside of the glass, holds it up to the light and smiles to himself. Tiffany returns, dressed and with different hair colour.
I don't care much for redheads. Terrible temper. But somehow it seems to suit you.
It's my own.
But it is in need of some soft lighting, and I know a little restaurant quite close.
I never mix business with pleasure.
Well, now do I.
Good. Then we can start by saving the cute remarks until after you get the diamonds into Los Angeles.
Well, where are they now?
That's not your problem. Your problem is getting them in.
How much is it?
50,000 carats.
What, 142 carats an ounce? That's an awful lot of ice. That won't be easy.
That's why you're being paid 50 grand. What did you think it was going to be, a pair of earrings? And Franks, for God's sakes, come up with something original.
In his hotel room, Bond peels a skin-like layer off his thumb as he talks on the phone.
I'll hand it to you, Q. Quite ingenious.
Oh, an obvious little notion. Thought it might come in handy. Oh, by the way, M's been trying to get in touch with you. That Peter Franks fellow's escaped. Killed one of the guards on the way up to London. Hello?
Bond's room is empty.
Hello? Are you there? Oh.
Night. Franks gets out of a taxi and pays the driver. He heads up the steps to Tiffany's apartment block. In the shadows near the steps, Bond faces the wall and hugs himself, giving the impression of a kissing couple. When Franks has passed, Bond looks up.
Yes? Peter Franks.
Third floor.
Bond.
Good evening. Peter?
Bond enters with Franks.
You are English? Yes, I'm English. I speak English.
They get in the lift.
Who is your floor?
Three, please.
Bond stands behind Franks and checks his watch. Franks turns briefly. Bond smiles, then launches a punch. The men struggle, breaking the windows of the glass cabin inside the cage lift. Franks grabs Bond, who breaks free and whacks him. Bond smacks Franks' head against the cabinet's side, karate chops him on the neck, and hurls him towards the glass. Franks throttles Bond, who karate chops him in the kidneys and hurls him backwards. He hits the lift buttons and it stops. Franks takes out a gun. Bond grabs his wrist and tries to disarm him. The lift buttons are switched on and off as the opponents are thrown against them. A shot from Franks' gun hits the floor as Bond disarms him. Franks gets Bond on his back with his head protruding from the confines of the lift. Bond's head is about to be crushed as they travel towards an upper level. Bond sticks out a foot and stops the lift just in time. Bond kicks Franks away, the lift starts again and Bond punches him to the floor. Franks arms himself with a piece of broken glass. Tiffany comes out of her apartment and sees the men fighting as the lift passes her floor. Bond traps Franks' hand in the sliding metal door to the lift cage. The sharp shard of glass falls from his hand. They've arrived at a floor. Bond throws Franks out onto the corridor, where Franks grabs a crowbar which is hanging on a panel on a wall. Franks lunges and misses. Bond blasts him in the face with foam from a fire extinguisher. Bond whacks him with the extinguisher and sends him flying over a banister rail. Bond throws the extinguisher down after him. Franks lies on Tiffany's corridor floor with foam spraying onto him. Bond gets in the lift, descends and goes to Franks. His back to a stunned Tiffany, he surreptitiously swaps wallets with Franks.
Is he dead?
I sincerely hope so.
Bond drags Franks along the floor by his collar and into Tiffany's apartment.
Who is he?
No idea. This chap's been following me all day today.
Tiffany checks Frank's wallet and finds a membership card for the Playboy Club and Casino.
My God!
Bond's name is on the card.
You just killed James Bond!
Tall, dark, handsome Bond gapes.
Is that who it was? Well, it just proves no one's indestructible.
You don't kill James Bond and sit around waiting for the cops to arrive. We've got to get those diamonds out of here, and fast!
What are they?
She flicks a switch, a sparkling chandelier lights up.
A little old lady dropped them by yesterday morning.
Priceless.
He looks from the chandelier to Franks.
I think we ought to let Mr. Bond carry the load from here on out.
A forklift truck delivers a metal coffin to the hold of an aircraft. A somber Bond in a black suit and carrying a briefcase stands watching with an officer as the coffin is hauled into the plane.
Funny. All the things one wanted to say to one's brother, when it's all too late.
Let me assure you once again of our deepest condolences. Would you please board the aircraft?
Bond makes to go, but turns back to the hold.
We were inseparable, you know.
Please, Mr. Franks.
On board the plane...
Lufthansa announced the departure of their flight number LH450 to Los Angeles.
Tiffany and Bond exchange a look as he sits nearby.
Seat belts and no smoking until airborne. Thank you.
Kid peers out through a curtain behind them.
They're both aboard. I must say, Miss Kay seems quite attractive. For a lady.
Wint gives him a withering, haughty look.
Lufthansa announced the arrival of their flight LH450 from Amsterdam.
Mr. Franks?
Yes?
Follow me to customs, please.
Tiffany walks on. The coffin is on a trolley in a customs warehouse.
Peter Franks, Jerry.
Bond approaches the coffin. Undertakers stand beside a hearse in the background. Jerry goes to Bond, who hands over a key.
Get some lunch, Jerry. I'll take over.
The officer opens the coffin.
Death certificate, please, Mr. Franks.
Well, well, well. Felix Leiter, you old fraud.
Felix smiles.
On behalf of the CIA, welcome to America. Someone sent their brain trust down to meet you.
Bond glances at the undertakers. Two wear black suits and trilbies, the third a chauffeur's dark outfit. Felix frisks Franks's body.
I give up. I know the diamonds are in the body, but where?
Elementary, Dr. Leiter.
Felix checks, then shuts the coffin lid.
So long, James. Keep in touch. The rest of your luggage has been cleared, Mr. Franks. Okay, fellas.
Felix hands the key back to Bond. One of the undertakers opens a rear door of the hearse, which has Slumber Inc. sign painted on the window. Felix watches as the other two wheel the coffin to the hearse, with Bond walking slowly beside them. Bond speaks to a porter wheeling luggage and points, then watches as the coffin is lifted into the hearse.
Want to sit in the front, Mr. Franks?
It's a lot smoother ride in the front, Mr. Franks.
Yes, I believe I'll sit in front.
He gets in. One of the undertakers shuts the rear door, then gets in the front. Bond is sandwiched between him and the driver. The other undertaker sits behind. The hearse speeds down a desert road, passing a sign, Welcome to Nevada, Recreation Unlimited.
The stiff. Deceased back there. Your brother, Mr. Franks?
Yes, it was.
I got a brother.
They all eye the undertaker sitting behind.
Small world.
The hearse turns off a sunny highway and immediately pulls up at Slumber Inc., a pleasant single-story building with a section that has an A-frame roof. Bond sits in the chapel in the A-frame section where a large multicoloured stained glass window casts soft light.
Mr. Franks, I'm Morton Slumber. Please accept my heartfelt condolences at this most difficult hour.
Well, he is heading for a better world, Mr. Slumber. There is some consolation in that.
Now then, if we're ready to begin the final journey.
Slumber, a grey-haired man with large, dark-rimmed spectacles, goes to a console and presses buttons. Purple curtains swish open, and the coffin, now a wooden one, moves on a conveyor belt towards an open trapdoor that leads into a brick passage that is the oven. Slumber gives Bond a cringing smile. The door shuts behind the coffin, and the curtains close.
So rest in peace.
Oh, yes, amen.
If you would care to follow me into my comfortable office, Mr. Franks, we will bring you the urn. I'm so happy you chose our half-couch hinge panel slumber on casket. I'm sure your brother would have appreciated it.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Please be seated.
The office is furnished with delicate dark wood furniture. Bond sits on an elegant chair and Slumber sits at his desk, which is a small tile-topped table with Art Deco-style lamps on it. Slumber rises again when a bald man enters with a large brass urn and takes it to Bond, who lifts the lid to peep in. It's full of diamonds.
Ashes to ashes.
Dust to dust.
Exactly. At a moment like this, I'm sure you'd rather be left alone for reflection.
Most thoughtful.
So we've selected a private niche for your brother in our Garden of Remembrance. It's the one with the restful chartreuse curtains and the angel's breath gold trim. You can't miss it. I hope you'll find everything in order.
The arrangements have been impeccable, Mr. Slumber. So far.
Bond walks through the Garden of Remembrance, past walls made up of cream marble squares with names on them. Flowers are in holders on the squares. Kid and Winter there, putting flowers into a holder. Bond walks past them and up to Franks's allocated section. He pulls back the curtains. A cream envelope with Slumber Inc. on it is behind the curtain. Bond puts the urn down in the gap created for it, opens the envelope, and finds dollar bills. He pockets the money and pulls the curtains to. Bond is smashed on the back of his neck with an urn. He collapses and is dragged away by Kid and Wint. A sour-faced man wearing a tweed trilby strides to Franks's section, takes out the urn, checks the contents, and walks off with it. Bond lies in a coffin with his eyes closed. Kid closes and locks the lid. Wint wiggles his fingers as he decides what to select on the chapel console. He presses buttons for curtains, door, mains, oven, and conveyor.
Very moving.
Heartwarming, Mr. Wint.
A glowing tribute, Mr. Kidd.
The coffin glides off towards the oven. Wint and Kidd hurry out of the chapel. Flames burn below the conveyor belt as the coffin travels into the oven. Bond's eyes flicker. He comes to slowly and looks about him. The trapdoor closes behind the coffin and flames ignite all over the oven. The coffin is swamped by raging yellow flames. Bond, his eyes alert, shifts as heat and smoke begin to seep through the satin-lined coffin. Sweating, he clenches his teeth and tries to push open the lid. The lid is opened.
You dirty, double-crossing, limey think those goddamn diamonds are phonies!
It's the sour-faced guy with slumber.
Now don't tell me. You're St. Peter?
Taste, class! Where's the real stuff, Franks?
Where's the real money?
What do you mean?
You wouldn't burn up 50,000 real dollars now, would you?
One last break, Franks. Where are the real diamonds?
You get me the real money, and I'll bring you the real diamonds.
Where the hell do you think you're going?
I hear that the Hotel Tropicana is quite comfortable. My condolences, gentlemen.
Hello, Felix. I'm very comfortable. There's one problem, though. I want the real merchandise, and rather quickly.
Q's just arrived with it. We'll be up with him in the morning. So I'd sit tight if I were you. There's no sense in looking for trouble. Just enjoy yourself, James. I'm sure you know how.
Quite. I'll probably take a shower or something.
Sitting in a circular bath, Bond flicks through a magazine and sees the sour-faced man's picture above, now appearing in the Lincoln Lounge of the White House, Shady Tree and his acorns. Inside the White House, spelt W-H-Y-T-E, Bond passes a door marked Willard White, also spelt with a Y. A portrait of White hangs beside the door. It shows him as 30-something and smiling. A picture of Shady on a board is flanked by two photos of scantily clad women in large headdresses. Bond, wearing a smart white tux and black bow tie, enters the room where Shady's on stage with his two babes.
People say I have the body of Rock Hudson. Whoever finds out what I'm doing to it'll be madder than hell. I call these girls my acorns. Actually, they're a gift from Willard White, who is upstairs right now somewhere, playing Monopoly with real buildings. I try to phone him, but trying to find Willard White is like trying to find a virgin in a maternity ward. And on behalf of the White House, I want to let you folks know you've been a lousy audience. So get lost, see you later.
The acorns lead the elderly Shady off. Kid and Wint have been watching. Bond makes his way into a gaming area. A grey-haired man, Saxby, clocks him. Shady, wearing a pale blue toweling robe, sits doing a crossword in his dressing room.
Shady Tree.
Wint and Kid are reflected in his mirror.
Shady, we just adored your act.
What taste, style?
And we have a few suggestions.
Critics and material I don't need. I haven't changed my act in 40 years.
Saxby catches Wint and Kid outside Shady's dressing room.
Hold it. Don't go in there. We didn't get the real diamond, so we need Tree. Alive.
That's most annoying.
Bond walks along the dressing room corridor, passing Saxby, who eyes him warily. Bond descends steps into Shady's dressing room. Shady is on the floor, eyes closed. Dice are thrown at a craps table.
Come, Foxstar, the loser.
Well, that's it, Pussycat. Shot the whole wad. What do you say? Back to my place?
You're a nice person, Maxie. Really, you are. Why don't you go and take a nap, and I'll see you next year.
She moves off.
No, make it $10,000. $2,000 limit.
Bond's at the craps table. Max's ex-partner stops and turns back.
There's some problem?
Thank me. Give him a $10,000 credit with a $2,000 limit.
My name is Franks. Peter Franks.
Bond shows the cream envelope.
Mr. Franks' credit's good. Good luck to you, Mr. Franks.
Thank you. I'll have 2 stacks now.
Hotel with 4,000.
Thank you.
Max is ex.
But of course you are.
Plenty are too.
Named after your father, perhaps.
Would you like some help? On the craps, I mean.
It's very kind of you.
She bets some of his chips.
Come here. Next to the lady. Ladies are lucky. Where's the lady?
Plenty shoots the dice. Busty Plenty shoots the dice again.
Seven loser, the lucky lady craps out. This shooter, your shot, Mr.
Saxby enters his large office, which has banks of monitors. He goes to a phone and dials.
Willard White speaking.
Tree's dead. Turn on number 2.
A hand turns on a monitor.
It's Peter Franks.
It shows Bond shooting dice.
Daily Devil.
Here's the number.
I'll take the full odds on the 10, 200 on the hard way. The limit on all the numbers, 250 on the 11. Thank you very much.
Say, you played this game before.
Just once.
Now what do we do?
Don't bother me with details, Bert. Just get me the diamonds.
Bond's given his winnings thousands of dollars worth of chips.
You handle those cubes like a monkey handles coconuts.
Thank you, gentlemen, for such a sterling service.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's $50,000.
Minus $5,000 for you leaves me $45,000, and thank you very much.
Well, it was nothing, really. You know something, Peter Franks? You're a terrific guy. A little weird, but a terrific guy. Say, why don't we go someplace and have a drink?
A drink?
Plenty pushes past Bond into his suite.
If you'd like to come in, Plenty.
Oh, how pretty. What a super place you have.
He turns on a light and is about to turn on another when she kisses him. Bond unzips her long blue dress at the back and it falls to the floor.
Just give me 1 second, lover.
She steps out of the dress and heads out. Bond picks it up and puts it aside, then turns on a lamp. An armed undertaker.
Good evening.
The two other undertakers switch on lamps and sit pointing guns.
I'm afraid you've caught me with more of my hands up.
Hey, what the hell is this? A pervert's convention or something? Hey, listen, you can't do this to me! Stop that! I've got friends in this town!
They drop Plenty out of the window and into a swimming pool.
Exceptionally fine shot.
I didn't know there was a pool down there.
Bond elbows him.
Let's get down to business. I presume you've come for the
Guns aimed, they retreat and carry their colleague out. Bond takes a gun from inside his jacket and goes to an open bedroom door. He pushes it back a little further with his foot, then sees a handbag and necklace on a table.
Good evening, Miss Case.
He enters the room. Tiffany, dressed in a short, lacy nightie, is lying on the bed, propped up by pillows.
Sorry about your fulsome friend. I'll bet you really missed something.
Well, the evening may not be a total loss after all.
Why don't we talk a bit first?
First? Well, what would you like to talk about?
He sits on the edge of the bed.
You pick a subject.
Diamonds?
Good boy.
And you want to know where they are, and whether I'm working alone or not?
So far, so good. Keep going.
And if not, then with whom? So you can inform your superiors and acquire the diamonds.
Peter, I'm very impressed. There's a lot more to you than I had expected.
Presumably I'm the condemned man, and obviously you're the hearty breakfast. Right?
The two lie in bed.
You're not going to tell me where the diamonds are you?
What diamonds?
Sooner or later you'll have to talk. They'll make you. At the very least, you'll never get out of town alive. I can solve that little problem.
She puts out a cigarette.
It's lucky for me that I ran into you.
A 50-50 split. You get the diamonds, I get us out.
Us?
Well, I can't very well help you and then stick around. We could be on a plane and out of the country by tomorrow night. Rio, Hong Kong.
I knew a good tailor in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
All right. I'll get the diamonds, you get the plane tickets.
No, the airport's too obvious. A rented car should do us fine for openers.
Good thinking.
And since you're the one who's being watched, I'll get the diamonds, you get the car.
That's very good thinking.
Oh, Peter, I have the feeling this is the beginning of a wonderful relationship.
She lies on top of him and nuzzles and kisses his face.
Darling, Where do I pick up the diamonds?
When was the last time you visited a circus?
Two bare-chested men in spangled striped trousers swing to and fro on trapezes high up. One lets go, somersaults, and catches the other man's hands. Tiffany, in a cream trouser suit, walks through a huge crowded gaming area where people play cards while acts perform above them. Bond watches from a surveillance gallery with Felix and some of his men.
She's in the building.
Right, stand by. Do me a favor, James. Next time, pick a contact point when you're standing up.
Felix, if she gives your men the slip.
Relax, I've got upwards of 30 agents down there. A mouse with sneakers on couldn't get through.
Their attention is taken by leggy women in sparkly leotards who hang onto poles, which pass by the gallery windows. The women's legs are splayed widely but elegantly. Bond and Felix and his men are spellbound. One of Felix's men looks through binoculars and sees Tiffany playing at a blackjack table.
Give Maxwell his cue.
This is quarterback.
Operation Passover commence. Quarterback to tight end. Operation Passover commence.
Roger.
An agent standing by gaming machines lowers his radio and nods to the croupier at the blackjack table. The croupier deals. Tiffany lifts the corner of a card to check it and sees a message written on it. She gapes and stands the card on end to read it. Why don't you play the water balloons? She tries to catch the croupier's eye, but he doesn't respond. She throws in her cards, takes her chips, and leaves the table.
She's on her way. So far, so good.
Oh, good luck, Felix. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
The car rental agency. A little rendezvous.
You don't actually think she's going to show up, do you? That's a 1,000-to-1 shot.
No, more like even money. Her devotion to larceny versus my incomparable charm.
A woman in a leotard hangs by her teeth from a strap on a trapeze and spins rapidly. Tiffany goes to the balloons.
All right now, Kitty, you ready? Aim, fire! Go ahead! Oh, what did I tell you? Didn't I promise you a winner every time?
There you are, young man. How about that, huh? All right now, boys and girls, here we go again. All you have to do is just take your gun. Oh, right now, here we have a little lady, here we have a little man, and here we have a big lady. You're a little out of your league, aren't you, sister? All right now, boys, come on, point the guns.
Do you know what to do? All ready, get set. Now hold it till I say go, go! Now come on, that's it. Everybody point right at the clown. Winner every time. Get him up there.
Tiffany and the kids aim water pistols at the clown's mouths. A balloon's inflated as the clown's head fills up and the balloon bursts.
Oh, look at that! And we have another winner!
Tiffany, who missed the clown.
Oakley on the end, eh? Here we are. What an eye, what an eye!
Wait a second, hold it! I saw the whole thing! The machine's fixed! Who's she, your mother? Blow up your pants. One win! She only had one win!
Brilliant.
You're supposed to have 24 to win that dog!
Will you give her the rest, kid? Huh?
All right, boys and girls, here we go, everybody, come on, now!
An acrobat dives from a high platform. Agents squeeze past an elephant to follow Tiffany. A man with the elephant stops to put money in a gaming machine. The elephant pulls the lever on the machine with its trunk.
Oh!
They win, and the elephant shakes its head at the three elephants that have come up on the fruit machine. Tiffany walks past a hall of mirrors and sees her distorted reflection and that of the two suited agents following her.
First time sees Ambora, strangest girl ever born to live. She was captured near Nairobi, South Africa, and is believed to be part of a cruel, inhuman experiment. This beautiful girl will be locked into a steel cage right in front of your eyes, will change very slowly into a ferocious 450-pound gorilla.
Please be very still, ladies and gentlemen. We must have absolute silence so we wouldn't disturb Ambora from her transcendental state. We must warn you that in every scientific experiment is always a danger. So keep in mind this curtains is on exit. God forbid something should go wrong over here. Get out of here.
The agents follow Tiffany into the dimly lit show.
Now we start the transformation. Very dangerous, very quiet, please.
The balding man goes to a console and operates controls. Ambora, dark-skinned and wearing a bikini, stands behind bars. Kids stand in the darkness, watching and smiling. Tiffany checks over her shoulder cautiously and spots an agent. Dark fur starts to cover Ambora, and she transforms into an ape.
Wake, my beauty, wake!
The children look scared. The ape crashes through the barred door. The children run, scattering the agents.
Here, lady, you can't go through there the other way.
Tiffany runs backstage. The agents see and chase her. Numerous agents run out of the back of the building and stand looking out hopelessly over a huge car park. Bond sits in a gold-coloured sedan beneath a rent-a-car sign. Felix is driven up and leaps out of a green sedan.
No show?
Felix, don't tell me you lost her.
We lost her.
Tiffany walks out of a huge bungalow onto a sunny patio beside a large swimming pool. Bond's on a sun lounger in his shirt sleeves.
Nice place you have here. Take something off, enjoy the sun.
You've got a lot of guts showing up here. After letting me freeze my behind off at a blackjack table for 2 hours waiting for some non-existent diamonds. And what the hell is my black wig doing in the pool?
She gapes. Plenty floats upright in the pool. She's wearing a diaphanous white dress and a chunky elaborate gold necklace. Her ankles are bound with a scarf which is attached to a concrete block at the bottom of the pool.
She's dead. Supposed to be you, the next link in the pipeline.
What are you talking about?
Poor Plenty must have stumbled in here looking for you.
I don't believe you.
My dentist is dead in South Africa. That little old lady in Amsterdam. Shady got his last night. They've missed me once. And you're next. Now, who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
All I know is voices on a phone. They got me this place and told me to wait for further instructions.
You find it rather difficult to hear underwater. Now, where's the stuff?
Who are you? You're not a cop, and you're not Peter Franks.
And you're not the type to turn the other cheek. Now, where is the stuff?
Eastern Airlines announced the arrival of their flight 112 from Los Angeles, gate 7.
Bond watches a uniformed porter take the cuddly toy Tiffany won out of a locker. He puts it into a small suitcase, which is balanced on top of a larger case, and wheels them off on a sack truck. He goes outside, picks up the small case, and walks off into the sunshine. Bond comes out of the airport and watches the porter go to a green people carrier with a name painted on the side. The porter opens the passenger door and puts the case in.
Thank you.
He's handed money, shuts the door and walks away. The people carrier reverses out of its parking spot. Bond and Tiffany are in a red Mustang Mach 1. They follow the people carrier out of the vast car park and away from the airport. The people carrier pulls up at a gas station. Bond and Tiffany park up nearby.
Fill it up, please.
Okay.
It's Bert Saxby.
It's Willard White's right-hand man.
Saxby meets a middle-aged man beside a sedan. Tiffany looks up at the tall White House building.
Do you see the top? The penthouse?
Hmm?
They say Willard White hasn't set foot out of there in 3 years, and no one has seen him. No one.
Saxby drives off in the sedan. The other guy returns to the people carrier.
How much is that? Did you pay for this?
Cut him off.
Bond gets out and Tiffany parks the Mustang in front of the people carrier and shouts to the attendant.
Hey, Curly, what about my stamps?
Where are you going? Are you mad? Let me by.
Stamps? You ain't got no gas yet, okay?
Okay, so shove a couple gallons in.
Well, back it up.
Keep leaning on that tooter, Charlie, and you're gonna get a shot in the mouth.
Come on, lady, move it.
Oh, okay, lady, you win. You win. Will someone move that car?
Do what he says.
Hey! I wanted high test. Forget it, Curly. You had your chance and you blew it.
She drives off. The people carrier follows her out of the gas station and Felix's car, which was waiting behind him, pulls up to the pump. Tiffany slows and the people carrier with Tektronix on the side of it overtakes her. She tails him. He drives across a huge crossroads and out onto a long desert road. A tall sign which reads Dunes looms over the crossroads. The people carrier travels along through a parched, rocky desert landscape. Bond's head pops up behind the rear seat. The people carrier turns off the road and heads through the open gates of a compound surrounded by high wire fencing. Bond pops up again to look out. A sign outside the gates reads Tektronix, US Government Restricted Area, Keep Out. Tiffany stops at the sign. The people carrier stops at a barrier manned by guards. The driver hands over ID.
Okay, Professor.
The guard waves the professor through. Tiffany gets out of the Mustang. The people carrier bounces over a sandy track, passing a domed construction with a network of white pipes leading from it. The people carrier stops in a hangar-type building and the professor puts his ID card into a machine, then pulls it out. The people carrier is lowered beneath ground. Bond stares over the back seat. The vehicle passes floor 3. Lower down, stainless steel doors with a large number 5 on them slide open. A red sign beyond reads Restricted Area. The people carrier drives out of the lift and into a garage where it parks up. The professor gets out. Carrying the case, he heads for stainless steel doors marked Restricted. He puts his ID in a slot and the doors open. Bond watches from the car. The professor goes through and the doors close again. A man in a white lab coat strides up to the door jauntily, puts his ID in the slot, then removes it. As he gets the green light, Bond marches up and fakes putting in ID as the doors open.
Hello.
Hi. I haven't seen you here before.
I'm Klaus Hergesheimer.
New here.
Oh, I've been here 3 years. G-section.
How are things in G-section?
They go through.
Same old grind, you know, checking radiation shields for replacement. Hey, by the way, where's yours?
I've been waiting a couple of days for you guys to deliver them.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry. You should have given us a phone call. Look, I've got one here. Lucky for you, I carry spares. Now, you keep that on. You can't be too careful about radiation.
Absolutely. I feel much safer with this on.
See you around.
Hergesheimer walks off down a wide, high-tech corridor. And Bond strolls down another corridor. A blue flashing light attracts him to a lab window, and he looks in. He sees a lab full of stainless steel equipment and a man in a lab coat working on a platform. The case with the toy is beside the platform. The professor takes out the toy. Bond enters in a lab coat. He spots diamonds laid out on a surface.
Who are you? What do you want? Klaus Hergesheimer, G-section. Just checking on radiation shields. Now... let me see, you are, Professor Dr. Metz, our shields are fine. Now get out. Well, I'm sorry. It won't take a moment, but, I must verify. Metz. How do you spell? Will you please leave, you irritating man? Well, Doctor, there's no reason to run down the little people. G-section may not be as important to the operation as you are, but we do have our orders.
Dr. Metz will advise for you.
Right. Out, out.
Metz goes to take the call. Bond looks at the diamonds again.
Hello, WW. Yes, it's finally here. Oh, quite enough for completion.
Bond picks up a cassette.
We'll be through shortly. No? No problems at all. Right.
Metz snatches the cassette from Bond, World's Greatest Marches.
Will you get out of here?
Certainly, Doctor. I've seen everything I need to see. Thank you very much.
Bond leaves through one door. Hergesheimer enters through another.
Hi. Sorry to bother you. I'm Klaus Hergesheimer. G-section.
Metz and the other scientists stare at him.
Checking radiation shields.
On a moon stage in a studio, two astronauts pick up rocks next to an American flag. Bond peers out from behind a rock.
There he is, behind the rock! Come on!
Bond leaps onto the moon set.
What the hell is this, amateur night? Stop him, Harry!
Bond evades the slow-moving astronauts, then climbs into a moon buggy nearby.
Get him off that machine, that isn't a toy. Get out of that moon buggy!
Inside the buggy's cramped cockpit, Bond presses lit buttons. He spots the security guards approaching, then fends one off with one of the buggy's robot arms. Bond grabs a joystick and the buggy lurches forward towards a fake grey rock face. The buggy bursts out of the studio into the desert daylight and skids through the Tektronix compound. Security gives chase. Two guards observe by the exit gate.
It's gone berserk.
The buggy rushes towards them. Bond smashes through the barrier in the buggy and keeps going. Some guards in a green car give chase along the desert road. Two more green cars hair past the exit booth, which collapses in a cloud of dust. Bond drives the buggy off-road. The green studio cars pursue Bond across the rocky terrain. The buggy is a flimsy-looking vehicle with a tiny rotating satellite dish stuck on the back and a glass bubble-shaped canopy above the cockpit. Despite its rickety appearance, the buggy zips across the rocky surface while the chasing cars crash around on the rough terrain, kicking up thick dust clouds. One of the studio cars crashes over a ledge and falls to pieces. A team of riders on ATVs, three-wheeled minibikes, roars out of the studio complex. In the desert, a studio car rolls over and crashes as it tries to corner behind the buggy. The ATVs dash over the desert ground easily, flying over bumps and jumps. The buggy, which has a number one on the front, outruns another clunky studio car. The car clears a ridge, then loses control and rolls over twice before landing on its wheels in a battered state. The uniformed guards inside climb out and point after the buggy as the ATVs arrive. The ATVs head off after Bond, who looks focused as he drives the buggy alongside a ridge. One of the ATV riders, wearing a green helmet, drives his three-wheeler off the ridge and crashes. The rider kicks his ATV away as the other two ATVs zip past in pursuit of Bond's buggy that rolls off into the distance. As the two ATVs hair off after the buggy, Bond pops out from behind the ridge and runs at the fallen ATV rider, who restarts his bike. Bond kicks the rider off and mounts the ATV, then putters off in the opposite direction to the driverless buggy, which still has two ATVs in hot pursuit. Bond speeds back to the Tektronix compound, where Tiffany waits by her red Mustang. Bond leaps off the still-moving ATV. Tiffany runs over to him.
What happened? Where
are the diamonds? Get in the car! If you see a mad professor in a minibus, just smile.
Bond leaps into the Mustang's driver's seat and Tiffany jumps in the passenger side. The car screeches off down the desert road past the trundling driverless ATV. some Tektronix security guards observe from around their smashed-up car.
Fred? Get the sheriff's office.
Okay.
Nighttime. Neon signs glow above the Vegas Strip. Bond and Tiffany cruise in the Mustang.
Listen, you can drop me off at the next corner. This whole thing is getting a little out of hand. No regrets, but when you start stealing moon machines from Willard White, goodbye and good luck.
Just relax. I have a friend named Felix who can fix anything.
Is he married?
Bond drives past the sheriff in a parked squad car.
There goes that son of a bitch and saboteur.
The squad car pulls out into traffic and cuts in front of Bond, who stops. The burly sheriff gets out.
Relax, you've got a friend named Felix who can fix anything.
Unfortunately, so can Willard White.
The approaching sheriff eyeballs Bond, who calmly reverses, spins the car around and drives away. Bond spots another squad car close behind, then corners hard. Bond rockets past the dumbstruck sheriff, still standing in the road. The burly sheriff double-takes. Bond weaves through traffic with the squad car on his tail. Tiffany gawps as they swerve around. The chasing cops wear crash helmets. The driver wears sunglasses. Bond corners to the left. The chase speeds past a diner on the Vegas Strip. Now, two cop cars follow close behind the Mustang. A taxi brakes hard by the Golden Nugget Casino and Bond veers to avoid it. Another cop car joins the chase. A pursuing cop car spins to a halt, then sets off again. Bond mounts the pavement to avoid a cop car that brakes across the road in front of him. Back on the tarmac, Bond spins around a crossroads, sending the pursuing vehicles in circles as he speeds off again. The roads are deserted apart from the chasing pack as Bond heads into an open-air parking lot called the Mint Parking. One car hits a reversing white car, then another cop car smashes sideways into a brick wall. Tiffany looks aghast as Bond stops and reverses, sending two cop cars crashing into each other. They hair off in the Mustang. Bond takes another tight corner in the parking lot. Two cops collide head-on. Bond drives another circuit of the packed parking lot as more cop cars descend on the area. One of the blue and whites blocks the exit. Tiffany throws her arms up fearfully as Bond evades. The Mustang mounts a car carrier's ramp and jumps out onto the main street. A cop car tries to do the same and crashes on the strip.
Come in, Larry. Larry? Did you get him, Larry?
The sheriff's on the radio.
I think Larry got him.
Sheriff?
Attaboy, Larry. Come in. Larry?
Sheriff?
The Mustang trundles past. The sheriff and his deputy scramble into their car. Bond leads the sheriff into an alley marked with a sign reading, Dead End.
I got you now.
Bond looks anxiously at the alleyway ahead.
Lean over.
Bond drives the Mustang's left-hand wheels up a ramp and drives on just two wheels through a narrow gap up ahead. The sheriff tries it and rolls over. Tiffany gawps fearfully as the Mustang bangs about. Back on the main road, the car rights itself. Bond calmly drives the Mustang past the flashing neon sign for the Pioneer Casino and turns the corner at the carousel, which has a glowing blue and orange sign above it. Tiffany and Bond are in bed.
Darling, why are we suddenly staying in the bridal suite of the White House?
In order to form a more perfect union, sweetheart.
James, may I finally call you James?
Both naked, she kisses him on the shoulder.
What's going to happen to me?
Bond stares at the fish.
You did talk to your friend Felix about me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did he say?
Something about 20 years to life. Nothing important.
20 years to life?
Relax, darling. I'm on top of the situation.
He rolls on top of her. Wearing black tie, Bond answers the door to Felix.
Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
Yes, that's the name on the register, Mr. Leiter. What's the score with WW?
Washington says no go. We sit still for now.
Sit still?
And Miss Tiffany Case Jones has a lifetime reservation at another hotel, the kind the government runs.
I'm cooperating, Mr. Leiter. Really, I am.
Oh, I can vouch for that. Felix, this is not the real White House. He's not the president. Why don't we just go and see him?
The president I can get you in to see. But until Washington starts believing Willard White's a thief, that's the way it is. In the meantime, I'm sure you and Mrs. Jones can find some way to amuse yourselves. And just to make sure you're not disturbed, I have a man upstairs. And Hamilton is right out here. So long, James.
Well, that's a switch.
What's that?
The wolf being guarded by the three little pigs.
I won't be long, darling.
Where are you going?
I'm just popping upstairs for a moment.
In full tux with a red carnation, Bond hops out of the window and wanders along the balcony.
16th floor?
No, lady. Starlight lounge only. Okay, folks, stand clear of the doors. Here we go.
Bond smells his carnation as he stands on top of the casino's lift, which runs on the outside wall. The lift is lit up around the edges by orange neon tubing, and its pathway up the side of the building is marked by blue neon stars. The lift travels slowly upwards. Bond stands upright on its roof looking around. Bright lines of blue neon run along the sides of the casino as the lift passes ever higher. Bond looks up as the lift approaches a concrete ceiling and bends down to avoid it as the lift stops.
Starlight Lounge to the left. Express to street level only, folks. Okay, stand clear of the doors. Here we go.
Bond grips hold of a bar running across the lift shaft as the lift drops from below him. He looks down as the lift descends to the street. Bond climbs along the bar, then grabs metal struts on the wall to drop down a level. Bond grabs hold of the concrete ceiling, which juts out awkwardly into the night sky. He observes the tall building's diagonal structure. Bond pulls a small cylindrical gun from his jacket, then reaches into the waistband of his trousers. He produces a small metal clip, which he fixes into the barrel of the gun. Bond leans out from the lift shaft. He fires the clip, connected to a rope, into a concrete strut on the side of the building. He fires another clip and rope into an adjacent concrete strut and swings out into the night, attached by the two ropes hooked into his belt. Above the Vegas skyline, glittering against the dark night, Bond uses the ropes to haul himself up towards the diagonal roof's overhang. Bond grabs handholds in a concrete wall and pulls himself up onto a darkened balcony above. He detaches the ropes from his waist and does up his tuxedo jacket. Bond wanders along the balcony, then peers through slats over a window. He removes the slatted mechanism and places it carefully against the wall. Bond pushes the window and it opens inwards. He descends into the opening, feet first. Bond drops a short distance into a padded chair and looks around a small room. There's a roll of yellow toilet paper on the wall next to him, as well as folded newspapers and a range of phones. Up ahead is a bank of monitors showing live footage from the casinos. To Bond's right is a remote control panel marked Tektronix. He pushes a button on the remote. He appears on a monitor.
Howdy, welcome, son. We've been expecting you. You got any personal business to take care of in there, you go right ahead. First, I suspect you're wearing a hog leg. Would you mind standing up and taking it off?
Bond takes out his Walther PPK.
Oh, isn't that nice? You are a pleasant fella. Why don't you just come on in, son? Relax. Make yourself comfortable. That's good. Right on over there.
A door slides open and Bond steps through the doorway. The door closes behind Bond, who finds himself in an opulently decorated attic with dark grey rafters and a shiny metal staircase leading up to a mezzanine. Bond heads across the polished floor, then stops as a man smoking a cigarette swivels to face him.
Good evening, Mr. Bond.
Blofeld.
From the mezzanine.
Good evening, 007.
Another Blofeld, dressed in brown, walks down the staircase.
Double jeopardy, Mr. Bond. You killed my only other double, I'm afraid. After his death, volunteers were, understandably, rather scarce. Such a pity. All that time and expense, simply to provide you with one mock heroic moment.
Blofeld starts a tape player and picks up a red phone.
Willard White speaking. Yes, Governor, I got your message. No, I'm afraid a personal appearance is quite out of the question. I'll send a deposition to the committee. Thank you, Governor.
Blofeld hangs up and smiles at Bond.
Well, that's a neat trick.
A voice box, Mr. Bond. Science was never my strong suit, but the principle's easy enough. Someone's voice patterns and resonance stored in a small oral signature tape. A miniature transistorized version is installed in his neck. Or is it his neck? I never can remember. Anyway, no matter. We both sound alike.
My congratulations to you both.
There's a huge map with details in the floor.
Oh, nice little company. Explosives, oil, electronics, houses, aviation.
I've done rather well with it, too. Tried to cut some of the fat off, but actually Mr. White's a splendid administrator. Damn thing runs itself.
I suppose you've killed him.
Nothing so melodramatic. I'm simply holding him in cold storage, so to speak. An insurance policy against any outside interference with my plans.
The ideal kidnap victim.
No one's seen the man for 5 years. So who's going to miss someone who's already missing?
How clever you are, Mr. Bond. Nice to see you haven't lost that fine mental edge, 007. Please don't get any foolish notions. That missile is not a practical weapon.
Well, it's hardly worth the effort. After all, I wouldn't know which one of you to kill.
We appreciate your predicament, Mr. Bond. We deeply sympathize.
Bond kicks out at Blofeld's white cat, which flies into the arms of the Blofeld dressed in brown. Bond shoots him dead. The other Blofeld, dressed in grey, pulls a gun on Bond, who watches as another white cat emerges, wearing a diamond collar.
Right idea, Mr. Bond.
But wrong pussy.
I do so enjoy our little visits, Mr. Bond. However potentially painful they may be. But I'm afraid this one has come to an end.
What do you intend to do with those diamonds?
An excellent question. And one which will be hanging on the lips of the world quite soon. If I were to break the news to anyone, it would be to you first, Mr. Bond. You know that. But it's late, I'm tired, and there's so much left to do.
Blofeld pushes a button and a door opens.
Good night, Mr. Bond.
Blofeld brandishes his gun at Bond, who heads for the open door, then turns to Blofeld.
Well, go on, it's merely a lift. Or perhaps I should say elevator. In any event, I'm sure you'll find it much more convenient than mountaineering about outside the White House. You press L, Mr. Bond. The word lobby begins with L.
Bond enters the lift, which has shiny silver panels, and presses a button on the keypad. The doors close and the lift moves. Bond immediately steps off the shiny floor and looks down. The floor remains intact. Gas seeps from the roof. Bond holds his arms up over his face, then collapses unconscious as the lift descends to the bottom floor marked with two W's. As the lift door opens, Kid and Wint arrive.
If at first you don't succeed, Mr. Kidd.
Try again, Mr. Wynn.
The two besuited henchmen lumber towards Bond's unconscious body and pick him up. They carry him over to their car and dump him in the open boot. A small glass bottle slips out of Bond's pocket. Neither Kidd nor Wint notices as they close the boot, then get in the car. Wint starts the brown car and drives towards a door that's opened in the corner of the room. They head down a dim, rocky corridor. Lamps are strung up across the corridor's roof. In the car, Kid holds up a small remote. A fake rock opens in the desert and the car drives out into the night, leaving a trail of dust behind it. Wint and Kid drive through the darkness, then pull up. They climb out of the car and open the boot. The two henchmen take Bond out, but don't notice the broken glass beneath him. Wint and Kid shove Bond's body into a metal cylinder close by. They head back to the car. Kid closes the boot, then jumps in the passenger side. Wint drives them away, and they both chuckle together in the front seats. Daytime. Bond lies in the rusty metal cylinder as mechanical diggers sift through the desert earth and lift other cylinders nearby. A machine with a succession of clawed buckets sends the red earth from a nearby ditch onto a conveyor belt. A bulldozer pushes earth into the ditch, filling it up. The cylinder with Bond, unconscious inside it, is winched into the air by a workman operating levers on a crane. The cylinder is a section from a longer pipe. It's dumped into the ditch and the bulldozer starts to push the earth on top of it. More earth is piled on top of the pipe as the sifting machine chugs away nearby. The machines fill in the ditch completely and rumble away. The earth is left flat and desolate. In the pipe underground, Bond wakes. He bumps his head on the curved surface above him, then looks up and down the pipe. A rat stands on its hind legs in front of Bond, who glances around with arched eyebrows.
One of us smells like a tart's handkerchief.
The rat rubs its nose with its paws. Then Bond smells his hand.
I'm afraid it's me. Sorry about that, old boy.
Suddenly, the rat bolts as a sled slides slowly towards them, spitting blue sparks. Bond heads away down the tunnel. Bond can only move so fast as he's bent double to avoid the low ceiling. He turns to face the oncoming sled. He lies front first on its flat surface and spots two wires zapping the pipe's metal ceiling. Bond grabs the wires and presses the sparking ends together. The sled stops. A jeep drives slowly along the desert road.
I don't mind a cockamamie machine breaking down twice a day, but why the hell does it always have to be 500 yards away from the nearest hatch?
Two workmen open a hatch buried in the ground.
All right, Charlie, it's your turn to play hunchback.
Bond climbs out of the hatch in his tux.
Thank you very much. I was just out walking my rat and I seem to have lost my way.
White House Casino, Blofeld answers the phone.
Willard White speaking.
This is Bert.
It's Bond with Q and Felix.
We got a problem.
Blofeld flicks a switch.
Matter with your voice, Bert? Have you got a cold?
Q connects some wires on a voice box.
Never mind about that. I just saw James Bond in the casino.
That's impossible.
Yeah, well, you come and have a look for yourself. Hey, listen, if he's half the genius they say he is, we're in for real trouble.
Now, calm down, Bert.
Well, it's a cinch he's not working alone. This place must be crawling with agents by now. I think we should move Willard White.
Nonsense, Mr. White is perfectly safe at his own summer house.
It's on the ridge, about 10 miles out of town.
I'm a little surprised, Bert. It's not like you to panic.
Well, I just don't enjoy messing around with a guy as tough as James Bond.
Never mind James Bond. You get down to that house. I'm afraid Mr. White has suddenly outgrown his usefulness. Do it cleanly, Bert.
Don't worry. Just leave everything to me.
Bond hangs up.
That ridiculous contraption actually seems to work, Q. You've surpassed yourself this time.
Not a bit of it. Made one of these for the kids last Christmas.
Maxwell, James, and I are heading for the house. You get set to hit the penthouse as soon as we find White.
Right.
Let me speak to Metz. There's been a change. Push all plans forward by 24 hours. I'm joining you immediately.
In the desert, a telephone engineer clips a phone cable. Bond gets out of Felix's car.
Give me 5 minutes to get up there and 5 minutes to find White.
He gives Bond a gun.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Ask me again in 10 minutes' time.
Bond heads towards the penthouse on the ridge.
Tell Maxwell to stand by to hit the penthouse.
Bond saunters up to the entrance of the modernist penthouse with his cream jacket slung over his shoulder. The front gate is made of rusty iron. Bond pushes open the gate and heads into a small walled garden with a hard black floor and a glass wall directly ahead. Bond, wearing a white shirt and pink tie, heads for the glass wall. He pulls the already open door and treads warily into the penthouse. Various sculptures are on display on plinths and tables near the chunky grey walls. Bond proceeds into the room. A leggy lady in a leotard and headdress pops up from an orange armchair.
Well, hi there.
Bond watches as the attractive lady gymnastically slow cartwheels on the other side of the room.
I'm Bambi.
Good morning, Bambi.
And I'm Thumper. Is there something we can do for you?
I can think of several things offhand, but at the moment I'm looking for Willard White.
Oh, Willie. Why, he's right out there.
Thumper holds out her hand.
And that's all there is to it?
Not quite. First, we're gonna have a ball.
She knees Bond's crotch. Bond crumples.
All yours, Bambi.
Bambi vaults over to Bond and kicks him in the chest. Thumper shoves him away. Athletic Bambi, who wears a yellow bikini, springs around the circular room, then stops as Bond sits up.
You're on again, Bambi.
Bond turns, then drops to the floor as Bambi vaults onto a sculpture nearby. Bond knocks Thumper as she attacks. Bambi kicks Bond onto a glass table, then as he stands, grips his head with her thighs. As Bambi holds Bond round the neck, Thumper prepares to attack in front of him. She eyeballs Bond. Bond struggles to prise Bambi's legs off his neck, then Thumper kicks out. Bond tumbles, then gets up as Bambi hits the floor. Both women encroach on Bond, then look at each other before rushing forward. They kick Bond into some silvery tubes which topple around him. The two ladies pick Bond up, grabbing an arm each. They throw Bond into an outside pool, then dive in after him as he splashes around. Bambi and Thumper rise up either side of Bond and dunk him underwater. Then Bond raises his arms and dunks the ladies. As Bond spits out water and calmly holds the women under the surface, Felix and his team rush into the penthouse. Felix arrives at the edge of the pool.
Hello, Felix.
Well, you know it. Willard White is about to be executed. And guess who's giving breaststroke lessons? Where the hell is White?
I haven't found out yet.
He lets the struggling Bambi and Thumper up for air, then dunks them again.
Still haven't found out.
Thumper breaks free and swims to the side of the pool. She points down furiously.
Right.
Bond lets Bambi go and gets out of the pool. He joins Felix, the agents and the cops on their way downstairs. An agent shoots a padlock off the door, and Felix busts into the room. Bond follows with the agents. Felix follows the noise of the flush and points his gun at the bathroom door. Willard White appears.
FBI? CIA?
No, British Intelligence, Mr. White. James Bond.
They shake hands.
I see you met my friend Bambi and Thumper.
Yes, we did have a bit of a chat.
What the hell's happened to me, and what can I do about it?
Let's get out of here first, and I'll explain to you on route.
They leave.
Tell Maxwell to hit the penthouse.
Agents open fire on Saxby, who's sniping from behind a rock. Saxby's hit in the chest and falls back down the slope.
Saxby.
Bert Saxby?
Yeah.
Tell him he's fired.
Agents rush into the casino. Q plays a one-armed bandit and comes up with three bars. He ignores his winnings and moves on. Tiffany appears behind him.
Q, are you having any luck?
I'm being somewhat successful, thank you.
Listen, Mr. Q, I was wondering, have you heard any talk about me from Felix or James?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, I guess I'm working for the good guys now, but I'm still only two steps away from the slammer if they want me there. I thought you might be able to put in a good word.
Q pulls the handle on another one-armed bandit and hits three bars again. All of the trays are filled with coins.
That's unbelievable!
Q turns.
An electromagnetic RPM controller. Been aching to give it a try. You see, pressure on the K-square when the desired symbols appear. This causes the rotation of the cylinders to stutter at just the precise moment needed to...
Q looks round. Tiffany's gone. Having spotted someone with long grey hair, carrying a cat and smoking a cigarette, Tiffany heads out to the taxi rank. Tiffany moves along and peers into the next taxi. She moves on again and is shoved into a black car.
Well, well, well. Look what the cat dragged in. I'm delighted to meet you, Miss Case. I'd so dreaded the prospect of making this tedious journey alone.
Blofeld's in drag. The car drives off. A security guard leads White, Bond and Felix through swinging doors into the lab.
It was right here, but 6 feet high, with a solar panel. They had these aerofoils that seemed to be...
Draw it for me. Was Dr. Metz on your payroll, Mr. White?
No, but I heard of him. Everybody in our business has. The world's leading expert on laser refraction. A committed idealist to peace. And how in the hell Blofeld got his hooks in him, I will never know. How did he get security clearance to work here in the first place?
Well, from you, sir. I talked to you personally about it. I even recognized your voice just now.
I'm sure I must have told you not to keep the usual duplicate microfilm records of the project.
Exactly, sir.
Tom, what did I tell you to do with this?
Send it to Vandenberg, sir.
Well, get him on the phone, now!
Tom, the security guard, takes the paper and picks up the phone.
Yeah. You won't believe this. Willard White for you.
Wow. This is the real honor, sir.
Shove, Your Honor. Where's that satellite I sent down there?
Blasted off 24 minutes ago, sir.
The rocket drifts through space.
Perfect trajectory. All systems go. We expect to enter orbit right on the nose, sir.
The scopes at Vandenberg go crazy as the rocket splits into two sections.
Wait, something's happened.
Just a moment, Mr. White.
Scanners have gone crazy. Premature first stage separation.
It doesn't make sense.
The nose cone on the rocket falls away, revealing two solar panels and a long, thin needle. The needle and panels separate from the rocket.
Stand by to abort.
Technicians at Vandenberg fiddle with switches.
Control it, sir. Abort it!
It's negative.
We can't. Something's taken over the guidance system.
It's as if it had a will of its own.
And there's not a damn thing we can do about it at the moment. We're working on it, sir. I'll call you right back, Mr. White.
White hangs up and turns to Bond.
Well, whatever it is, your friend Blofeld's controlling it now.
In space, a shiny silver satellite dish opens up around the needle.
Vast supply of diamonds being manipulated by an expert in light retraction.
The first laser beam is generated through a diamond, and if old Metz deserves one-tenth of his reputation, the power of that thing would be incredible.
And Blofeld's got it.
White nods emphatically. At Vandenberg...
Where is it now?
Approaching North Dakota.
Alert Strategic Air Command.
Give me an open line to SAC.
Attention all personnel. Attention all personnel. We have a red alert. Stand by for emergency procedure.
In a silo at Strategic Air Command in North Dakota, a missile heats up as the needle fires a laser from space. The missile explodes. A mushroom cloud rises above the silo. The needle drifts through space. In the lab...
Willard White.
White frowns as he listens, then bows his head.
Yes, General. One of our missiles just accidentally blew up in North Dakota. Whatever's happening, Mr. Bond, has started.
In space, the satellite dish around the needle lights up and a pink laser shoots from the needle. A Russian sub under the ocean heats up, then explodes. A vast smoky cloud billows out of the water. At the White House, White enters his office with Felix and Bond.
Is this your herd?
Mr. White?
Yeah.
Phone call for you from Washington. Urgent.
I'll catch it in a jar.
What about Blofeld?
Not a trace, but we found a tunnel. We're checking it out.
Where's Tiffany?
Do you mind if we find Blofeld first? Come on, let's hit that tunnel.
The agents enter the lift with Felix and the doors close, leaving Bond alone in the office. Bond picks up the model of the needle. In space. The satellite fires again. In Korea. A row of missiles blows up with a nearby guard. White returns to his office.
Well, Washington just got word from your friend with the cat. Would you believe that this whole damn country is being held for ransom and we've got till noon tomorrow to pay up?
So that's it then. Well, I'm sure you won't be alone.
An international auction with nuclear supremacy going to the highest bidder.
White studies a model rocket.
Tell me, what does he need to control that satellite?
A simple set of tapes fed into a computer bank. All he really needs is a building.
And these tapes, large or small?
Conceivably, any size, from 6 inch to a cassette.
Well, assuming he's still using your empire as a cover, Blofeld could be anywhere on this map. From Alaska to Florida, from Maine to Oregon, from Texas to Baja, California.
Baja? I haven't got a thing at Baja.
On an oil platform far out to sea, Blofeld strokes his cat and listens to the radio.
Official government explanation of the apparent simultaneous nuclear accidents in North Dakota and Russia. Presidential News Secretary John Fenner has refused comment on an unconfirmed report that an emergency meeting of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is in session at this very moment. It is believed that the United States and the Soviet Union have assured each other over the hotline that no offensive action has been taken by either nation. Reports of another nuclear accident in Red China are as yet unconfirmed. We will be bringing you further reports.
Two more submarines have taken up position at 10 miles away. No, are those military aircraft going to stand off forever? What if they won't accept our ultimatum? What if they decide to attack?
Calm yourself, Metz. This farcical show of force was only to be expected.
Yes,
the
but...
great powers flexing their military muscles like so many impotent beach boys. I deeply regret my threat to destroy a major city unless they give in, but there it is. The nuclear powers, like all bullies, can only be intimidated by force.
But how can you
There's
really...
There's still an hour left for them to reply. 1 hour for both of us to achieve our common dream. Total disarmament and peace for the world.
Blofeld climbs a staircase.
Sir, there's a single plane approaching.
Range?
2 miles and closing.
He carries on up.
Stage one alert, please.
Command center.
All crew to stage one.
At the top, second platform! There it is!
Blofeld joins his guards outside on the platform as the plane passes overhead. A package drops from the plane and floats through the sky attached to 3 mini red parachutes. Blofeld strolls along a balcony and watches the package fall.
Hold your fire!
It hits the water's surface. The moderately sized polygonal grey package floats on the surface, then appears to roll across the water towards the platform, where the guards in red helmets and blue overalls observe.
All recovery crew personnel, proceed to docking level and stand by.
The package rolls into a docking bay. Guards wearing gloves hold onto it as the surface is unzipped, revealing Bond inside.
Good morning, gentlemen. The Acme Pollution Inspection. We're cleaning up the world. We thought this was a suitable starting point.
Bond, in a smart suit, is helped out of the package and into the lift by two guards. The lift, a simple cage on a wire, is winched upwards away from the docking bay. Bond holds onto the barriers and looks up. The lift is dragged through the air above the platform. There's a guard on board with Bond. Blofeld watches as the lift touches down on the platform.
How disappointing. I was expecting one head of state at the very least. Surely you haven't come to negotiate, Mr. Bond. Your pitiful little island hasn't even been threatened. Search him from his toenails to the last follicle on his head and then bring him to me.
Blofeld turns to leave. Bond watches him with a wry expression, then glances around. He double-takes as he spots Tiffany sunbathing on a lounger across the platform. She raises her sunglasses and eyes Bond, who frowns as he's led away. Bond stands before Blofeld, whose tape is playing. There's a tape box marked World's Greatest Marches on the table. The shoulder of Bond's jacket's been ripped.
I do so hate martial music. But as usual, Mr. Bond, you were absolutely right. You guessed correctly. That box contained the master satellite control tape, and you came aboard, presumably hoping to substitute this for the real thing.
Tiffany comes into the office.
So sorry to have ruined the line of your suit for nothing.
Talking about lines, which one did you use on Miss Case?
Miss Case has taken a terribly reasonable attitude about all this. Like any sensible animal, she's only threatening when she's threatened.
It appears that you're holding all the aces, right down to the dragon lady over here.
Jealousy? From you, Mr. Bond? I'm flattered. As La Rochefoucauld observed, humility is the worst form of conceit. I do hold a winning hand. Why don't you let me take you on a little tour of our facilities? Your chance to see the real tape once again.
Can I tag along, Ernst?
I put something on over that bikini first, my dear. I've come too far to have the aim of my crew affected by the sight of a pretty body.
No word yet from anyone.
Only 12 minutes left. Oh, well, I suppose a little gentle prodding is called for. As you see, Mr. Bond, the satellite is at present over Kansas. Well, if we destroy Kansas, the world may not hear about it for years. Perhaps New York, all that smut and traffic, would give them a chance for a fresh start. Washington, D.C. Perfect. Since we have not heard from them, they will hear from us. See to it, Max.
Washington, right.
And this, presumably, is the control bank with the coded tape.
Right again, Mr. Bond. All satellites are controlled by a coded tape. The trick is, of course, to have the code.
Obviously. It all seems so perfectly simple. I suppose one just presses that and out it pops.
He ejects the tape. Blofeld didn't see Tiffany give Bond a tape earlier.
Put it back, Mr. Bond. Immediately.
Bond switches the tapes as he bends down. Tiffany enters wearing a tiny red and purple cropped top.
Hi, Ernst. Is Superman giving you any trouble?
Put it back. Very carefully.
Bond puts the tape into the machine as Tiffany watches with an anxious expression.
You've suddenly become tiresome, Mr. Bond.
Target fixed. Commence countdown.
10 minutes and counting.
Take him away and throw him in the brig. And search him again, just to make sure.
As Blofeld leaves the control room via the staircase, Bond wanders past the guards, then stops and approaches Tiffany.
Bitch.
He slips the tape into Tiffany's bikini briefs.
Your problems are all behind you now.
She looks away as Bond leaves the room. Outside, a couple of guards lead him away beneath a red balloon. Bond stops to tie his laces and unhooks the balloon's string. The guards spot what Bond's doing and rush over. One of them fires at the rising balloon. Blofeld looks out of the window. He sees the balloon rising. While being led away, Bond throws off the guards.
Stop him!
As Bond makes a run for it, another guard knocks him down.
9 minutes and counting.
Tiffany runs outside and pushes the guard away. She kneels by Bond.
I switched the tape in the machine.
You stupid twit, you put the real one back
in. Come on,
let's go.
The two guards pick Bond up by the arms and drag him inside. Tiffany rises, looking anxious. The red balloon continues rising above the platform. Elsewhere, in a helicopter bearing the Willard White logo, Felix sits next to Pilot Willard. They both wear orange safety vests.
A weather balloon! What do you think, Mr. Leiter?
That must be the signal. There is the low pressure area within 200 miles of here. Let's go.
Signaling a fleet of armed choppers.
This is Charlie 1 to Squadron. Charlie 1 to Squadron. Ready all guns and proceed to target. I repeat, proceed to target.
Roger, Charlie 1. Out.
Come on, Bond. Get the hell off that rig.
8 minutes and counting.
Bond is shoved into the brig. The guard secures the heavy door.
Approaching rapidly. Range, 5 miles.
But I don't understand. You said they wouldn't attack. You said they
would... The balloon was a signal. Stupid fools must think Mr. Bond has accomplished his mission. Activate defenses.
Activate defenses.
Sections of the platform unfold, revealing manned guns pointing towards the sky. In the brig, Bond looks around at the junk on the shelves. The fleet of helicopters approaches the platform across the water.
This is Charlie 1. Commence attack! Commence attack!
Two marine helicopters fire missiles at the platform. Explosions blossom on the rig's surface. As the choppers buzz past, Blofeld's guards open fire with the machine gun turrets. Guards in black fire their submachine guns. More missiles explode on the platform, sending guards flying. Tiffany nips into the control room.
6 minutes and counting.
Get them on the radio, Blofeld. Tell them we give up.
Give up? I've waited too long for this moment. They'll pay dearly for making a fool out of me.
Oh, I see it all now. You don't give a damn about peace. All you care about
is...
Blofeld spots Tiffany fiddling with the tape machine.
Hello, my dear. We're showing a bit more cheek than usual, aren't we?
He spots the outline of the tape in her briefs, then holds out his hand.
Take her below and lock her up with Mr. Bob. What a pity. Such nice cheeks, too. If only they were brains. Destroy this, Metz.
He hands the tape to Metz. The guard leading Tiffany to the brig is gunned down by a helicopter. In the brig...
5 minutes and counting.
Bond uncovers a raised manhole lid and lifts it up. He looks through it at the sea below. As an army helicopter is blown up by the gun turrets, Bond drops a rope through the manhole and climbs down it. Bullets ricochet around Bond as he descends below the rusty-looking platform floor. A missile hits the platform. Tiffany ducks behind an oil drum. Beneath the platform, Bond swings from the rope to a horizontal wire. Bond wraps his legs around the wire. A gun on the platform hits and destroys a marine chopper.
4 minutes and counting.
Bond negotiates his way up towards the platform's base. An orange fireball engulfs a gun turret. Smoke billows from sparking machines and computer desks in the control room. Metz stumbles over to Blofeld.
you surrender. This is not the madness.
One more word, Metz, and I'll have you shot. Get back to your post.
Metz scurries off as Blofeld picks up a phone.
Prepare my battle sub immediately.
Blofeld hangs up, glances around, then heads up the staircase. Outside, Bond climbs up an iron ladder that leads onto the platform.
3 minutes and counting.
Bond nips over rusty pipes as Blofeld calmly heads down some steps towards his personal submarine. Two guards hold the canopy open as he gets in. They close Blofeld into the mini-sub.
All systems interlock.
Lathers up to crane. Commence lift.
A guard operates a crane and the tiny wedge-shaped craft is lifted above the platform. The crane clears a gun turret.
2 minutes and counting.
The sub is attached to a long wire which hangs from the crane's arm and slowly lowers the sub towards the surface of the ocean. It stops just above the water.
Power and breathing systems on. Release catches open.
Bond gets moving.
Lower away.
Bond grabs the crane operator.
Up to crane. Lower away. Wake up, man! Lower away!
Bond operates the crane's controls. The sub drops heavily into the water.
You stupid idiot! You're going to kill me! Disengage! Disengage!
Bond smirks in the crane's cockpit and pulls levers, raising the sub back up again.
Disengage! Lower! Not up!
Bond smirks as the sub rises.
And counting.
Blofeld to command center. Come in. Blofeld to command center. Come in.
Tiffany skips daintily across the burning platform and joins Bond by the crane's cockpit. Bond maneuvers the sub into the control room wall.
Damn you. Command center, come in.
The sub swings above the platform as the battle rages.
And counting.
Bond crashes the sub into the wall again.
Get the gun!
Tiffany grabs a machine gun off the floor.
Shoot him!
Tiffany gawks as three guards approach. A chopper fires a missile and knocks them down. Tiffany fires the gun and the recoil sends her flying off the platform. Bond turns round. He double takes. Bond crashes the sub into the wall again, and the control room is rocked by explosions. Orange fireballs erupt all over the platform as Bond rushes out of the crane and executes a perfect swan dive into the sea. Huge plumes of smoke billow upward as flowering explosions rip through the platform. The helicopters buzz around. A busy ocean liner is smothered with coloured streamers and ticker tape as it leaves a port.
So long, James. YRM, you're on your way home. Don't tell him which direction we've taken.
If you're having a good time, let the captain know and I'll have him steam around in circles.
White and Felix wave from the busy dock as Tiffany and Bond set sail. Kid and Wint smile from two portholes.
James, there's something very important I've been meaning to ask you. About us.
Oh?
I know in a relationship like ours, the girl's not supposed to be the one to ask, but I can't help it. And please, think before answering.
That I promise.
James.
Bond looks up sharply as two full dining trolleys are wheeled into the room by the smiling Kid and Wint. Bond gets up off his lounger, where he's canoodling with sultry Tiffany, and approaches the pair.
There must be some mistake. I didn't order any.
No mistake, sir. On specific instructions, and with the compliments of Mr. Willard White. Oysters on the loose. Shashlik. Tidbits.
prime rib au jus. Salade utopia.
Hidden by the trolley, Kid sets a bomb in the dessert.
What dessert? The pièce de résistance. A bomba surprise.
That looks fantastic. What's in it?
But then there would be no surprise, madame.
Madame, would you care to be seated?
Thank you.
This will just take a moment, and then we will leave you in peace.
Wine, sir? Mouton Rothschild 55.
May we begin?
Please do.
Wint stabs the wine bottle and opens it. He presents the cork to Bond, who sits at the table with Tiffany, as Wint pours.
Happy selection, if I may say.
I'll be the judge of that. That's rather potent. Not the cork, your aftershave. Strong enough to bury anything.
Wint and Kid exchange glances as Bond tastes the wine.
The wine is quite excellent. Although for such a grand meal, I had rather expected a claret.
Of course. Unfortunately, our cellar is rather poorly stocked with clarets.
Mouton Rothschild is a claret. And I've smelt that aftershave before, and both times I've smelt a rat.
Kid grabs two kebab sticks and sets them on fire, then lumbers towards their table. Wint removes a chain from his neck and tries to strangle Bond. Bond smashes a bottle of alcohol and sprays Kid, who's burst into flames. Tiffany runs for the door as Human Torch Kid leaps into the sea. Tiffany grabs the dessert. She throws the dessert, which breaks, revealing the bomb. Bond throws off Wint and bends him over. Bond pulls Wint's jacket arms through his legs and attaches the bomb, then throws him overboard. Wint explodes in midair. Bond leans on the banisters.
Oh, he's certainly left with his tails between his legs.
Tiffany hugs Bond.
James.
Oh, yes. What were you about to ask me?
James, how the hell do we get those diamonds down again?
She looks up at Bond and smiles as he glances at the stars in the sky. ITFC audio description.
Sparkling round my little finger. Unlike men, the diamonds linger. Men are mere mortals who are not worth going to your grave. They luster on. Diamonds are forever, forever.